It's a God who can look right in to the essence of our souls. And you're not afraid of that, are you? No. No. This is the kind of God that is here this morning. You. You have no idea what your future holds. But God holds your future in His hands. You are an exceptional woman. And don't you let anybody tell you otherwise. Don't you let your own mind tell you that you're not a child of God. Because you are. God has sought you out. And He's heard you. And He's come to you. Do you know that there are men who are mentioned in the Bible? Right? Their name's not Braden. But Timothy is one of them. And Timothy was shaped by his mother and his grandmother. They were faithful to the Lord. If you are faithful to the Lord, this man will be great. You're an exceptional woman. Don't you let anybody tell you otherwise. Who agrees with me? Yeah? There are people here that when people stand in front of them, it's really spooky. Because they see, not with their eyes, they see with their spirit, right? And they can see that there's a component to each of our lives that goes beyond the natural, beyond what we see. They see into the heart. It's an ability that God gives us. And so when you stood up in front of everybody this morning, your heart was exposed. But don't be afraid of it, because it's a good heart. It's a good heart. It's an exceptional heart. Okay? So you take these words and you treasure them, and he will be a great man in his time. Mm. All right? It's amazing. This God of capacity, this God of immensity, this awesome God, this amazing God. And Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says this. This is a God who is over all things. And you know, we look at ourselves, don't we? And we think, oh, well, we're not much. But this God looks at us, and what does he say? You see it? But you are a chosen generation. This God who spoke and everything came into being, this God has chosen you. You're not here by chance. Don't be so arrogant to think that you are here this morning by chance. Because the God of the universe knew you would be here. He wants to speak into your heart this morning, and he wants to just breathe some changes into that heart. And he wants to make you chosen. You are a chosen generation. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We've all been listening and exalting and carrying on about Miss Meghan Markle. Right? Yeah, you've been watching the news. She's going to be a princess. How many people grow up and think they're going to be a princess? Well, yeah, you're not going to be a princess, man. You know, this guy had the cheek this week to put up on Facebook an incredible picture of himself when he was about 20 years of age. Yeah. My, how the mighty have fallen. He's more of a man than he used to be. But we're all in that boat, right? We're all in that boat. Chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. If you've got Jesus living in your heart, that's what you are, you're a member of a holy nation. This is the word of God, his own special people, that you, why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're at a period of time in the church calendar, if you like, where the beginning of December sees the talking about light. And so we string these things, these baubles, we string them around and the lights shine. They look good. Look at the tree back there. That tree looks good, right? But you know what? It's good that they're here. It's great. Look at this here. I actually went and turned some of the lights down so that, you know, these lights would be accentuated a little bit over here. Because they're beautiful. But you want to know, they are celebrating a light that is far greater than what we can see in here today. Amen. They're celebrating a light that if you give him the chance, he will turn on in your heart today. That's the light that's being celebrated today. So give him the chance. I'm saying from the outset, give God the chance this morning. Don't switch him off. Switch him on. And you watch where he will take you. You watch where he will take you because you're a chosen person. Listen to the choice. You know, out of darkness into light. And I've said this many times. I just want to say it again so you understand that when the Bible talks about being taken out of darkness and into light, it talks about being delivered out of darkness. For a moment, let's just sort of think about darkness. Think about natural darkness. Think about, hey, that's good. Don't worry about it. Right? That's good. That's life. Life makes noise. I tell you, I get worried when I come into a church and there's no noise. You know, I want to hear people talking. I want to hear babies crying. I want to hear life. Are you the same? You know, God forgive us if we ever get to the point where we start to cringe when we hear a little bit of noise. Don't want that. We want noise. Well, not noise. We want sound. You know, we want to hear the sound of joy and the sound of people who have been set free, people who have been delivered. Now, try, put your hands over your eyes, right? And try and make it dark, right? Make it as dark as you can. And it's dark. Make it so that you can't even see a glimmer of light. How many of you have been to the Mammoth Caves? Anybody here been to the Mammoth Caves? Right down there in Tennessee, I do believe. Maybe Kentucky, is it? Right, you've been down there, been down the Mammoth Caves, and you go down underground. And did you go on that tour where you get to a certain part, and they say, now, they prepare you for it, and they switch all the lights off. All right, you've seen that? All right, so you're down there, and I've done this in caves in a number of different places in the world, and the feeling is the same. You know, you cannot see the nose on the end of your face, and that's pretty close. Right? You can't see it when you put your hand up like that. It is so dark. The dark is it's just, it's freaky. It's freaky. Right? And so what the Bible is saying is that you have been pulled out of that darkness. In fact, it says you've been plucked out of that darkness and you've been placed into light. What they do in the Mammoth Cave, if they still do this, I'm pretty sure they still do, is that they, I'm scaring all the kids by the sounds of it. They don't like darkness. And so what happens is that you're in this immense, this darkness that's just, it's cloying, it's getting a hold of you, it's driving you nuts, you know. This darkness, man, it's just all over you. And so what happens is that they light a match. They just light a match. And there's just a little bit of light that comes into those mammoth caves and it makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. You're out of darkness and you're into light. The Bible is not so gentle when it talks about coming out of darkness into light. What the Bible's talking about is, and can I use you as an illustration here? It's just snatched, all right, just like that. We are snatched. You didn't expect that, did you? All right. I do know him a little bit, all right, so, you know, I was having a mind about his pants before, but... But, you know, you're exceptional too. You are. No, don't thank me. I've got nothing to do with your exceptional abilities. It's the Lord. You're exceptional too. Yeah. Yeah. No, don't even, you appreciate the Lord, not me. Yeah. Yeah, good, good, good. That's good, that's good. Yeah, yeah. All right, let him have full reign in your heart, man, and you'll start to see some stuff happening in your life that you haven't even dreamt of. Yeah, you'll start to see some things happen in your life that have never been there before, and you're, wow, this is happening to me. It happened to me, you see. Yeah. So, you know. But anyway, so I plucked this off your head, right? I just plucked it. And that's what happens. We're plucked. The Bible says that we're plucked out of darkness into light. And we're plucked out of darkness into light. Right? Now, I don't mean any disrespect at all. You know, I put that back on your head carefully because that's what God does with us after he's plucked us out of darkness and brought us into light. He puts us where he wants us very carefully. All right? Now let's have a look at some scriptures, because we've got this intent of God written by Peter, and you know, a lot of people are really afraid of their futures, and if you're in Christ, if you're in God, you don't need to be afraid of your future. A lot of people are afraid, and I know I'm right in saying this, because if you just go down to CVS, and you go watch the number of people that have to buy pills for fear, all right? A lot of people. I won't ask you to put your hands up. All of you that are taking pills for fear, you know, no, don't put your hands up. Yeah, but for fear. People take, there's a huge industry based on fear and anxiety. Yeah, a huge industry. You know, just we live in a nation that's captured by fear and other things, of course, and other things. And God doesn't want it like that. God wants us to be delivered from darkness and fear. God wants us to have a future that's glorious. Now, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, and if you could put that up on the board for us, please. I'm going back. So you have Peter. Peter's writing what he wrote around about 60 years after Christ. And then you go back about another 500 or 600 years to Isaiah. All right, so he's about 500, 600, maybe 700 years before Christ. So it's a prophecy. And so in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, you know what a prophecy is? It's something that's spoken of in the past about the future, saying this is going to happen. And so about 500, 600, 700 years, 17 I think it was, years before Christ came, Isaiah prophesied. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, there's this stunning verse that's recorded for us. It says this: the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. He's prophesying this. He's saying it's happened. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. All right, now let me put that into context for you. Before Christ, in the thousands of years, before Christ, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, what happened was that we human beings, before Christ, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, we were called fallen. In some of the games that we play and some of the things that we read about, you'll come across that phrase, the fallen, right? The fallen. Now, let me really shock you here. What the Bible says is that anybody who doesn't have Christ in their hearts, anybody who has not been lifted out of darkness into light, belongs to the fallen. Now, understand that. A lot of people in this day and age don't understand their condition before God. The condition is that people who are without God are fallen. You with me? Fallen. It sounds horrible, but that's what the Bible says. But what Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 is saying is that those who are in darkness have seen a great light. And so the opportunity for them to be not fallen is being expressed to them. You see, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come and to stand before those who are fallen as a great light and show them the way into His kingdom. To show the way into His kingdom. And that is the desire of God. How much does God desire this? So you have Isaiah chapter 9, and we understand that darkness is horrible. Then we go through to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He's still prophesying forward, and he says, "For unto us a child is born." That's what all this is about. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever." Now listen to this. "It is the zeal of the Lord of hosts who will perform this." What's the key word in there, do you think? Zeal. Zeal. Tonight, the Eagles are going to play. All right? With zeal. Yeah, with zeal. With zeal. Well, I want to tell you that zeal that they manifest is absolutely minuscule and ridiculous compared to the degree of zeal that the Lord of hosts, God our Father, through Jesus Christ our Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that He has to see you in His kingdom. He has great zeal to see you in His kingdom. He is consumed by wanting you to move from being fallen and in darkness to come into His great light. And He's prepared to pluck you out of it so He can put you carefully where He wants you to be. Oh boy, it is with great zeal that the Lord of hosts will perform this. Well, that's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. God has an overwhelming desire for you. You know, when Mike and Jody first met each other, I understand that they had a great desire for each other. when Jill and I first met each other, we had this great desire for each other. I know Tony had this great desire for Barb because I said to him once, "Wow, Tony, how did you land that fish?" And he says, "Well, I don't look too bad either, do I?" Do you remember that?
I did.
Have you forgiven me? All right. So you know, we can talk about desire, but here we have a God who's so much more than the desire that a human being can express for another person. We have a God whose desire leaves that in his rearview mirror. A God who desires that we become his chosen. And so he sends his son. The prophecy is fulfilled. This Isaiah chapter 9 prophecy, 500, 600, 700 years before, that's a long time. It's fulfilled in Matthew chapter 4. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum." I think this is really ironic and a bit funny, actually. Capernaum, you know, that city that's by the sea, it's in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali. It's like me saying, "Well, I have to go out to Valley Forge." You know, the Valley Forge that's next to the Schuylkill, just up the road from such and such a place and down the road from, and over the hill from there. It's a little bit ridiculous. But this person who's writing this down, Matthew, he wants us to know, verse 14, that it might be fulfilled. He wants this to be understood, that a prophecy is being fulfilled. A prophecy made 500, 600, 700 years beforehand is being fulfilled. "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, over the hill from Valley Forge," right? Verse 16, "the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light." Do you get it? The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. "And upon those who sat in the region and the shadow of death." See, the fallen live in the shadow of death. Prior to the coming of Christ, even King David talked about going down to Sheol in shame. I forget what psalm it is, but that's what he said. And so you have this written here in Matthew, and then you have Paul picking it up in Ephesians. In Ephesians, he says that Jesus Christ came and he descended into the lowest depths, to hell itself, in order that he might, in Ephesians chapter 4, be raised, and with him he would take captivity captive. Those who were in darkness, he would take captive. Those who were in darkness, he would take captive. He led captivity captive. Wow, the prophecy is fulfilled. The prophecy is fulfilled, and that's what we celebrate in Christmas. Got nothing to do with baubles. It has everything to do with our soul being untied. You're sitting there today and you've got a knot in your gut. Is your soul in knots? You let the light of Christ shine on the knot that's in your gut and he'll untie. It's the ultimate in string theory. Right? It's the ultimate. The knot gets untied. Because Jesus has come and he is consumed with zeal, he says, for his house. This is Christ we're talking about. This is Christ that we're talking about. Let's talk about spiritual darkness. We've talked about natural darkness and how it's not nice. Let's talk about spiritual darkness for a while. Because our message is that those who live in spiritual darkness have seen a great light. That's our message. That's the message that we're to have. You know, we're to be so transformed within us that people see the change and we don't have to say a word. They see that our lights have gone on, you know, that something's changed. I mean, you look at old Rich Talley over here, and man, you think of how he's changed. Has he changed? He's changed, hasn't he? It's a bit freaky, isn't it, the way he's changed. I met him before he had changed, you know. I did. We had to shift some chairs together, didn't we? Yeah. And we talk about this. And man, you've changed. You know, this guy doesn't even have to say a word for us to know that he's changed. I want to tell you why he's changed. Because the light of God shone in his heart and undid the knot that was there. Do Do you know, this guy, I remember him saying to me, "Don't you ever get me up the front to say a word." Where was he 3 weeks ago? Man, did we see a budding preacher or did we not? This is a guy who said, "Don't you ever get me up the front there." And I tell you what, it's not because of anything that Richard Talley has done. It's because of what God has done in his life. God has unknotted something in his life and he's become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that's what God does. We become new creations in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful thing that it is. I just love standing in front of people that I know have changed. You know, it's fantastic. I could get all emotional right now. So that's our message, that those who've lived in darkness have seen a great light. Now, but sometimes what happens with us Christians is we get all poncy. You know, what happens is that we're blessed, aren't we? I mean, we've been around a long time, right? You know, in the Christian life, right? And what happens is that we run the risk in the Christian life of being redeemed and moved away from those people that we used to associate with and we become better than them. We're not spending money on booze and drugs anymore. You know, we're not giving full vent to our anger and so on anymore because we're brand new Christians from the inside out. We become different people and we kind of move away from who we were. And we just get a little bit comfortable. And you know what? To my shame, we forget what it was like to be in darkness. We forget what it was like to have a knotted gut. Right? We do. How many people know what I'm talking about? And we have to grab a hold of ourselves. And we've got to say, "Come on, Phil, you're not meant to live this comfortably. Come on, Phil, you're meant to be who you are in Christ, not who you are sitting on the couch watching TV." We kind of get comfortable. And so it's good for us to remind ourselves what darkness is like. So let's have a look at that, shall we? Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 42. I'm going back to that same prophet guy again, Isaiah. About 710 years before Christ, I think it was something like that. Isaiah 42. And in Isaiah, from Isaiah 40 through to Isaiah 50, it's all about Jesus. It's speaking of Jesus hundreds of years before he came along. And in these particular passages, it's talking about him being the suffering servant who's going to save us all. And it draws the picture of a people who are robbed and plundered. See, this is what it's like to be fallen, even though we might not recognize it while we're in that state. When we come out of that state, we realize just how bad it was. But this is a people who have been robbed. What have we been robbed of? You know, we sang, "Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved." Well, what have I got to be saved from? You know? Why should I call on the name of the Lord? I'm doing fine by myself. Well, that's what we think. That's what we think. But we've been robbed. Have you ever had your house robbed? Somebody ever come in and stolen from you? You're violated. Your space has been violated. Spiritually, your space has been violated. You've been robbed. You've been plundered. They've taken whatever they liked. They've got you down on your knees. And they're just walking around you and kicking you as they go past, saying, "I'll take what I like from this place. It's mine to take." Robbed and plundered. All of them snared in holes. Some translation that talks about being thrown into pits. Have you ever been in a pit? When I was a kid on the farm, there were times when we had to dig a big hole, you know, to bury something. I won't go on anymore with that. But, you know, we'd have to dig a big hole and to bury something. And sometimes, as a kid, we'd be down in that hole. You know, and Dad would be up there on the edge of the hole laughing his head off. Because, come on, Dad, get me out of here. And I can't get out. I'm in a pit and I can't get out. I need somebody to lift me out of the pit. Anybody else here been in a pit that you can't get out of? Spiritually, in a pit, snared in holes. What about the bird? The bird, they're hidden in prison houses, they're for prey. No one delivers. Look, the picture of the bird. Have you ever been to a winery, let's say, to where they're growing grapes, those big long lines of grapes, right? They're growing in big long lines. And of course, to keep the birds off, they'll put nets over the top of them. And the idea is that when the birds come to eat those beautiful grapes, they won't be able to get through to the grape, but they get snared. And so, take a hold of my hand. And so, you'll find, grab it. Yeah, you'll find that the bird is snared and can't get away. And so he's flapping, you know. Tweet, tweet. So he's flapping, can't get away. He's trapped. That bird is trapped, snared. It's called the snare of the fowler in some of the Psalms. Trapped, snared. But this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them snared in holes. They're hidden in prison houses. They're for prey. That's horrible. Do you know what that means? That means that on occasion they're going to let Tony out, and they're going to boom, you know, like shooting ducks. Gotcha, Tony. What was his name again? Tony. Oh, well, he's no more. Isn't that a horrible picture? But that's what it means. Oh, this is a people robbed and plundered, all of them snared in holes, and they're hidden in prison houses. They're for prey, and there's nobody to deliver them, to pluck them out. But there is now. Jesus Christ has come, you see, and he's delivered you from darkness. For plunder, and nobody says restore. Send them back. Return them to their rightful owner. Isn't it great that God has said to you, I'm plucking you out of darkness and I'm taking you over to your rightful owner. Your rightful owner is God. You don't belong to anybody else. If you've been captured by drugs, if you've been captured by alcohol, if you've been captured by some other addiction, you know, I'm here every morning, Saturday morning for CR, and so we have people come who are free from their addictions. God sets people free from their addictions. God takes people and takes them to himself because he's your rightful owner. He's the one who spoke and human beings came into existence. Ha ha ha. And so he's the one who has sent Jesus to say, send them back. You have no authority. You have no right over these people anymore. And I'm saying that to the spiritual world this morning over the people that are gathered at 2275 Westchester Pike. The forces of darkness that are clamoring for you have no authority over your life. Because Jesus Christ has spoken and he has said, send them back. Restore. Restore. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? God is good. Fear not. This is Isaiah in the next chapter. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. He knows your name. I've called you by name because you're mine. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, they won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Hey, what do you think of that, Earl? It's wonderful, isn't it? Isn't it great that God's given you guys, this wonderful little baby, and what a future. What a future. Man, I tell you what, you're trying to jiggle it to bits there, aren't you? Ah. He's having a good old laugh over there, that baby. What a beautiful thing it is. Tony? Oh, Tony's gone, I guess, with the baby. Yeah. But what a beautiful thing to see. It's good. It's good. Okay. Fear not, for I've redeemed you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Do you know what? The good news today is that in Christ Jesus, we can testify to the fact that God has forgiven us, that God has delivered us from darkness, and we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. Would you please bow your heads? God has placed into your heart not shiny lights, not baubles. He's placed His light into your heart. He's removed guilt and shame. There's somebody here, and I have no desire to identify you at all, but there's somebody here this morning. I was over there during worship, and I sat down because I was thinking of it. There's somebody here who's suffering from such incredibly low self-esteem. Well, you want to know something? God is here this morning to lift you out of that and to place you on a solid rock, Christ Jesus, to give you a hope, to give you a future, to give you a dream that He will walk through with you. He will empower you. He will make you strong. Thank you. He will make you strong. He will make you whole. And you will accomplish things that you had no idea that you would ever accomplish. He will rebuild you from the inside out. He will restore you. I don't want to know who you are, but I'm telling you that God is here to do that in your life. Let Him shine His light on you this morning. Let Him shine His light on you this morning. Just while your heads are bowed, open your hands out to an open receiving kind of submissive gesture to God, just like I'm doing up here now. All right? And bow your heads before God and say, God, Lord Jesus, I thank You that, Lord God, and you can pray this with me, thank You, Lord God, that You have come to me, that You are zealous for me, Lord God. I find that hard to understand because I'm not zealous about myself. But Lord God, You are zealous for me. You are the Lord of hosts. You spoke and the universe came into being. This earth, which is Your footstool, came into being because You spoke. But though You have a zeal for Your natural creation, You have a zeal for my spirit, my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. Lord, You want to renew me from the inside out and make me a brand new person. Lord God, You've come. You've sent Jesus Christ, Your Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit to work this out in my life. And I say thank You. Do you say thank You this morning? The God of the universe, the heavens, the earth, stands before you and you say thank You to Him. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. Thank You, Lord, that as I give my life to You, that, Lord God, You will take me down a path that is what You intended for me before You even made this universe and this earth. Hallelujah. You've delivered me from evil. You've plucked me from darkness to live in Your light. And so, Lord God, I am so thankful this morning. I'm one of Your chosen, Lord God. I'm one of Your chosen. You're saying that of Yourself this morning? I'm one of Your chosen, Lord God. I belong to Your priesthood. I'm in Your nation. I'm in God's nation. I'm one of His special people because I've been called out of darkness into light. Hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Lord God. Just while your heads are bowed, if this morning you are making that decision to have God in your life, please just look up at me. If this morning you're making the decision to live in the light, just please look up at me. If this morning you've seen a baby dedicated, and as I did, you took the opportunity to make a fresh dedication of your own life to the Lord God Almighty, just look up at me. Would you just look up at me if that's what you've done? And would you just raise your hand? I'm not going to ask you to come up the front. Just raise your hand so I can see your hand. Okay, good. I appreciate that. Anybody else? Is there anybody else? God's calling. This is what it means to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Just slip your hand up and just let me see. Thank you. Thank you. There's people that have put their hands up. Yeah. 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 All right? Let God speak to you this week. Let God show you what He's got for you this week. Let God reveal Himself to you this week. You're going to have a new life. New creation has been born this morning through the power of God. Hallelujah. Through the power of God. But you are a chosen people. Look up at me. You're a chosen people, folks. More important than the eagles. Yeah, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You've come out of darkness into light. Amen, Tony. Out of darkness and into light. Let's stand up and let's give the Lord a clap. Come on, let's stand up and give God praise. He is good. He is good, this God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Ryan. I've done my job this morning. Yeah, it's up to you now.
And well, God bless you guys. The Lord has switched on the light in your life. Let it shine. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. The cafe is now open. We'll see you later.